Welcome to the Unseen Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Jen Morse, holistic business coach, spiritual mentor, modern mystic, and artist. In this podcast, we explore all things mysticism, creativity, spirituality, and entrepreneurship, bridging the spiritual and the practical. So excited to have you here, and I'll see you in the show. Hello and welcome. I am so excited to have one of my amazing mentors, Natalia Benson, on the show today with us. She is someone who has truly impacted my life so deeply, and I am just so excited to dive in. Natalia is a women's empowerment coach, money mentor, and astrologer living in Southern California. And she is on a mission to see women empowered and in their ability to create revenue streams for themselves, running businesses that contribute and not deplete the whole of humanity. I love her mission. I am like so behind this. All things practical, spiritual, mystical, so much fire, so much earth, so much love, so much heart. And welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so honored, babe. You know, it's already just felt so nourishing to be in your presence.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's true. Thank you, my love.
Yes. So I wanted to dive in just a little bit for our audience here to learn about your backstory. And I was thinking a little bit more on the side of your spiritual evolution and how that came to be, like maybe starting with little Natalia. What was it like to be little Natalia and growing and blossoming and changing directions? And, you know, I think those early years are so amazing to mm-hmm. reference. And yeah, I would love to hear that.
Oh, I love that, babe. I mean, it's actually really powerful because the other day I was talking to Mick, my fiance. Mm-hmm. We're getting married in like a month, which is really amazing. Yeah. And I was telling him, I was like, oh my God, I just had this memory of me as a little girl. Can I tell you about it? And he's like, yeah. So I was like, I used to go out into the backyard in our first house. I grew up in a place called Moon Valley in Arizona. And I would go up into the gravel and the trees and the plants. And I would sit and like talk to the plants, and I would like pick the leaves and like play with them. And I would like commune really. And I'd make like rock soups all the time. So it's really interesting because I'm from Arizona, born and raised. I lived there till I was 18 years old. And, you know, for me growing up there, I'm a desert girl. I truly love nature. Definitely something I've gotten away from in the last few years being in LA for so long. But what's so beautiful is when I was young, I like to play pretend. I always like to like be someone else. I like to be a mom. I would always pretend like I was a mom. Mm. I was really fascinated by native culture, especially being in Arizona. You're really surrounded with a lot of indigenous Native American culture and artifacts and names. So I was very fascinated with that. And I have a big imagination. I was obsessed with horses. I started riding horses when I was 7, and I rode well. Western, because I was like, I don't want you to like teach me how to hold the reins, or like, I didn't even really jump and all that stuff that people do. I just wanted to be connected to the horse, and I would take care of them. And it was just really a special time. And I was very, it's actually funny, just for my bachelorette last weekend, we went horseback riding. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't been on a horse since I was like probably 9 years old. It's been a long, long time. But that was a really big part of like my inner child. And I was here's the interesting thing for me when I was young, because there was so much of me that was filled with like so much. Like when I asked my mom how I was, my mom's like, you were so like sweet. Like you would, and I do this now. I would stare at people till they acknowledged me. I would always, like, she said, I'd always do this with old people too. She'd be like, mostly you'd find some like old lonely person, or maybe not lonely, but they were alone. And I would go and I would stare at them until they'd acknowledge me, and then I'd smile and I'd like talk to them. So that was like a part of my, and I'm still like that, which is really funny. I talk to everyone. I love looking people in the face. I love acknowledging them. So that's something that stayed with me. But you know, my childhood is very fascinating because, you know, I had a traumatic experience at 6 where I was sexually abused, and it's really interesting at times because there's a line between who I was and who I was after that. And it, fortunately, my family was supportive and they got me what I needed. And more so just by really helping me and loving me and getting me out of the situation. But what's interesting is that I've done a lot of work around this where I'm like, who was I before that and who was I after? And there's a palpable difference. And from what I've learned as well, as we get older, if we have something like that in our early life, it really affects our brain function. It affects how the nervous system forms. These are all things I've just learned in the last few years, and I'm almost 35. I'll be 35 in like 2-3 weeks. So over time, you know, I look at how through the healing process and through the journey I've been through so far in my life, it's like, I feel like it's been recapturing the little girl I was before that, mm-hmm. who just had a faith and a playfulness and a trust. And not to say that completely went away after, but it was definitely a little changed. And, you know, just a couple more notes about that. As I got older into my teens and my teenage years, I got very into dance. So I was a dancer. I was trained. I trained for years. I loved competing. I loved performing. So it's really funny because now with what I do with my work, and I teach a lot. So it's really beautiful how like the silliness, the play, the imagination, the movement, there's all these things that have like kind of come online through my work now that is like the little girl in me playing. And that's really cool because truthfully, and I'm sure anyone who's had an experience like mine or whatnot, it's interesting how for me personally, I didn't trust that inner child because my association with that was something painful. Mm-hmm. So it's been beautiful over the years, especially in the last couple of years, how can I like allow her to like be ignited again and really run my life? Cause that's where the beauty I'm finding, that's where the beauty really comes from, is when that little girl, that little child, inner child inside of us gets to express itself. But the truth is, I didn't even pay attention to that word until probably 8 months ago. Mm. And I was just like, it just wasn't really something I paid attention to again, because I had kind of a traumatic association with that part of my life. But it's beautiful, like, just to really see that she's been guiding the show all along. So that's a beautiful question to ask.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for going so deep into that. And when you said mom and all of that makes sense. Like I'm pulling pieces from that. The mom energy is what, you know, when I was in your container, which is where we met, and you were my mentor for, you know, starting a spiritual business and what does that mean and how to do that. It was very like, you have such a unique balance of the masculine and the feminine.
Totally.
And it was like a super powerful combination for me, who's can be very Pisces, very feminine. So that piece of you that was that mom, that mothering, that like, I could always feel your heart and that warmth, you know?
That's so beautiful to receive.
Yeah, it was. And I was like, yeah, that's just you. That was you always. It's always you, little you, like, I'm just a mom and I'm just going to look at people and smile at them and talk to them. And, you know, I love those stories. That's so powerful. And the inner child too, you know, so much of what we do in this life is deconditioning.
Totally. A million. It's like, I'm listening to a great podcast episode right now with Scooter Braun and Lewis Howes. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how the first 40 years of our life, we learn. And then the next 40 years, we unlearn all the things we learned. And I think many of us are starting that process much earlier. Yeah. But yeah, it really is a process of deconditioning and healing. And it's such a rich life when we engage with that fully. So that's been my process over the years.
Yeah. And this is a good segue. I'm curious what you've learned too through, because I know this is a big topic that you love to talk about is past life regressions and past lives and how they've impacted, you know, how they have impact on our current life, our current nervous system, our current subconscious. So I'm curious if there's any, like, I know you have, and we all have this life trauma, but past life stuff, if you want to dive into that and how relevant that is for you, you know, on your journey or anyone really.
Oh yeah. It's like, well, I'm so fascinated by past lives. I just think started learning about them in my early 20s, and just, I read the book of Many Lives, Many Masters. And then a couple of years after that, Journey of Souls. And both of those books just really woke something up in me that's never gone back to sleep. That was just like, oh my God, like the multidimensionality of the soul, the multi-lifetime perspective. And, you know, my past lives, like when I've explored them in meditation, I'm actually even going to be doing another regression because I'll just self-regress with like a recorded meditation. But it's really interesting because, you know, it feels easier to access now, like the more that I've gone into it. My original thing was I would go see regression therapists, but it's really fascinating because none of mine have been particularly enjoyable. Like at least the ones that I was shown, they've always been kind of intense. But every time I could glean the understanding of like why I am the way I am in this life, for not only the challenges that my soul called sort of like teed up for me, but in addition, just kind of like, wow, like it just shows you how wise the spirit, the soul is, because it's guided by something so much bigger than the ego. And the ego is important. Like we need the ego to be incarnate on the planet. But I just find like, just past life understanding has been really healing for me because it just sort of, I just actually had a really potent session recently with a guy named Leo Max, and he has a company called Restorative Hypnosis. And I did like a full-blown hypnosis regression with him. One of the most intense sessions of my life, but I just gained so much healing and insights from that. It's like a 3.5 hour long session. He's a Scorpio. So he's just like, yeah, let's go in. Like, you know, he's so amazing. But it really was sort of the icing on the cake for me on a couple things that I didn't really understand about myself. But because the session was so deep and so like multifaceted, I just gained so much of a deeper understanding around certain things. So it was pretty awesome.
Oh, I love that. It's so fascinating to hear you say about the, you know, there's some things like I've discovered also in past life regressions that have, like I have some PTSD symptoms towards totally. That are triggered when there's like an invasion of the home. This is like,
babe, me too. Fully. Every time. It can be the smallest thing. Yeah. And I literally go nuts. Like it's so crazy. Same. Like, and I've been like, where is that from? Like, it's definitely not from this lifetime. No, so
because nothing happened, you know, like in that capacity. It's so amazing to, I uncovered two lifetimes and there's probably more where I was murdered in my home.
Oh my God. Crazy.
Yeah. I was like, and you know, when I found out that information, I was like, oh,
makes so much sense.
I understand. And it's better now, having seen that information, having
it unlocks that
energy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It unlocks it in the subconscious. So it doesn't have to like be this hook anymore.
Yeah. There was a quote, actually, you had mentioned referring to Ainsley MacLeod.
Oh, and my favorite. Meant to mention that book too.
It was something along the lines of like, if you're reading this work,
yes,
you are in your like most abundant or, you know,
best lifetime ever.
Lifetime. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that incredible? Like that book is one of the more recent like regression and like past life soul books I've read. Oh my God. It's so profound. His work is really profound. Also a Scorpio, ironically.
I love Scorpios.
Me too.
Like, they just like, can go in.
Literally. They're like, we are not fucking around. Like, let's freaking go. Like Shaman Durek. Like, it's so funny. Cause I'm like, I have some earth in my chart, but I'm like a lot of fire and air. And only over the years have I deepened. And a lot of times it's my water sign babes who call me forward to deepen and slow down. And I had a session with him. Ironically, wasn't even a session. It was a podcast interview. And he ended up doing a session with me. And it was like, cause I just feel like Scorpios, they're so Pisces too. The water signs so tuned that they're just like, oh my God, like you're bullshit is bothering me. Like, let's go. And just like, let's fucking do it. Like, just like they literally do not mess around. It's so healing. Like it's hard at first a lot of times. Cause it's like, whoa, I'm being called forward in like huge way. But it's like, if you can just trust and surrender the scorpionic power, like there's so much good on the other side of it. It's so powerful.
Yeah. 100%. And it's like the, you know, this started happening with me when I was starting to do healing sessions. Like I studied with my grandmother and she actually knew, she knows Shaman Durek and his family.
I love that.
It's so sweet. And she, you know, like didn't tell me, like she's a Virgo. She didn't tell me that like stuff was going to happen. So, and I don't think she realized, she was like, oh, whatever. But like as a Pisces, as soon as I would like come in and touch someone, I'm like, whoa, getting their past lives, getting their childhood memories, like just download, 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 download. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what it means to be a water sign.
Straight up. Like, I feel like this lifetime, God was like, you're just gonna like, cause I am like, Leo was actually kind of like having a little poke at me in our session. Cause he's like, wow, you have so many boundaries with the spirit world. And I was like, you don't know what I've experienced. I literally said that. I was like, I'm just taking a fucking breather this lifetime. Like I've had some very profound, some beautiful, some very intense, like, experiences we'll say, but it's like, it's interesting because I learned a lesson in my early 20s. Cause I wouldn't say I came into this life, but when I started to spiritually awaken over the years, I was like, oh my God, I literally knew there are just things. And I don't say this from a place of ego. It's not ego whatsoever. It's just a space of knowing where I was like, I know how to do this. It was like an intuitive, like laying of the hands, like visualization, like guiding people through things mentally. And it just, these were just kind of tools that I just sensed and could feel, but just like a little baby scorpion, I just dove straight head in. I was like, I'm going to heal everybody. And then I remember I worked on this girl one day, her and her sister for like fucking 5 hours. And the next day I couldn't even get out of bed. And I was like, oh, got it. And so, as you know, I mainly work online now. It's a little bit of a different thing, but it's like, yeah, it's really fascinating because it's like, I just feel like as healers, and we're also in a very dense time right now where like really the acknowledgement of our gifts and the really respect of the gifts of the empaths, the healers, the mystics, it's a little bit offline at the moment, but it's coming back online. And that's why many of us have businesses that are doing so well because people are seeking this kind of deeper work again, but we have to be grounded and we have to really take care of ourselves and have healthy boundaries so that we can serve at the highest level while not totally burning ourselves out.
That's a great point to like, I'm picturing this arc based on what you just said, this arc of that there is a grace period for the light workers, for the mystics, for the healers, for those empaths to learn to ground.
Yes.
Before there's an even greater call.
Oh, I love that.
Because I feel, and I know, you know, like this lifetime for us and anyone who is listening, who is an empath, a mystic, a healer, mm-hmm. like this is the lifetime where it's safe to do that.
Mm. Finally.
And it's needed.
And it's needed. It's, that's such a beautiful way of putting it. I feel like, yeah, you know, my story, Jen. So my 20s were very much an outpicturing and a projection of a lot of trauma, a lot of pain, not so much from this life. I had some things happen, of course, that were very hard, but I know that, you know, my 20s especially were really just my surroundings and the world, the life I was living. It really was that belief, the outpicturing of that belief system that like, I just wasn't enough. And like, also what I find amazing is that when I started with a lot of this, there was not really a space for it. Like I was weird. And like, of course, in some spaces you still would be considered a little bit weird, but like LA, it's like, I just even see how wellness and spiritual wellness, not even just like workout wellness and things, but there's so many things that are so much more open and accepted. They're still small in comparison, but it's a huge change and it's really exciting. So that's a, to me, a great thing to really look for and focus on is how people are more available to the deeper work.
Do you notice that's happening, that's increasing in speed, that kind of like awakening and acceptance of it over the last couple of years?
Hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I think that, because I even think about, you know, 2018 is when my life really started to like work, like where I was like, oh, got it. Okay. We're doing it. Everything's going to be good. But, it was not like that before. And I feel like what I really started noticing is even just how like the astrology, like I was writing horoscopes for a fashion, like an online fashion website for a couple years. And, it's just really fascinating. Like, yeah, I did that for like four and a half years. And then I just started finding that like 2017 into 2018 and beyond, there just all of a sudden felt like, oh wow, there's so much more space for this. Like I was having brands reach out to me wanting to work with me, and I did a thing for Google. It's just like, there was just like all these things where it's like Google is doing this party and they're like, we want tarot readers there. And like, what kind of like beautiful decor do you want? And it's like decorating a friggin' space with Google's budget. I mean, their team did it, but I was like, all my past lives were like, this is epic. Like, oh my God, it's so pretty. Like, it was just like so fascinating. But I just feel like over the years, it's picked up a lot more speed, a lot more acceptance. In 2020, I believe the astrology industry, it was on Business Insider. It was an article, but the astrology industry was worth into the billions. I don't remember if they said 2 or 20. I don't recall right now, but if you just Google like astrology industry 2020 Business Insider, I was like, that's phenomenal. Like people are so much more open and it's really cool. Like it makes me really happy.
Yeah. I had a conversation with a friend of a friend just a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking about an energy clearing that I had done and the spirits that had came through and like all this stuff and like a ritual that we were going to do. And she was like, if you had spoken to me 12 months ago, I would have thought you were nuts. But I am like 120% on board. Like
that's so lit.
And I find that with people like, over these last couple of years, there's just this awakening in people that had no interest in any
Absolutely.
Of this.
Oh my God. That is so funny. I mean, I have moments where like the conversations that I'm having, They just make me like, they make me laugh. I'm literally just like, oh my God, if anyone heard us right now, they'd be like, what in the heck? But I'm like, the fact I can have these conversations makes me so, I'm so grateful because, you know, I actually found this teacher named Mitch Horowitz. And he is like what I like to call, I think he calls himself this as well, but he's like an esoteric or like an occult historian. And what's really funny is I was watching this Gaia thing about past lives or the cult or something. And then he showed up on the screen. I go, that's my teacher. Like literally I saw him and I was like, I need to know him now. Like it was so weird. Wow. And I went to his Instagram and then I saw he was teaching a course, like literally freaked out. It was really funny. I was like, whoa, Nat, chill. But it was really interesting that I had that reaction. Like, and that's how I think our soul also finds people that we've been with or things we've been associated with before. It's literally like lights us up in a really fascinating way. And so I ended up doing his course. I didn't finish it because hashtag being an Aries, but it was just like, it was a really cool experience for the things I did dive into. It was, oh my God, what was it called? Esoteric. I'm forgetting the name right now, but the gist of it was basically he took you through the history of the occult and where it originated across cultures, timelines. And what I found the most interesting was that how it had had to go underground for so long because of religion. And it was, I mean, and I also like being such like a Capricorn rising with my Neptune in the 12th and my Uranus in the 12th. Like I'm such a weirdo. And I literally like love to like, I love history and I am fascinated by herstory. Like I want to know all the things and esoteric, of course, like history, who fuck, I'll say that, but you know what I mean? It's like I want to know the esoteric history of the world. And so it was really interesting. I was, when I was listening in, I was like, oh my God, I'm like, we like the things that we've had to do to bring these things forward and the things that people have done to protect the mystical arts. And that's why even like, and you know this, Jen, and I know it's the same for you. Like that's why we protect the integrity of the work that we do because it's so needed. And it's also gone through so much challenge and abomination for so many thousands and thousands of years. And something I was going to note was my mom being also she's a Capricorn. She actually loves history. So does Mick. And it was really fascinating. She and I were watching this creepy show. Like it was cool, but creepy. And it was like all about like the history. And again, art museum mysteries is what it was called. So they'd go into an art museum and then do the whole story behind these artifacts. And let me just say, wow, during like when Catholicism and Christianity or whatever the history was and religion had taken the power, the torture devices, the absolute, I mean, despairing of people who did not think or behave in the way that the powers that be, the church wanted. Oh my God. And then Mitch went into that too. And I was like, oh, I know about this because number one, I definitely lived through that or was killed through that or whatever happened. And in addition, wow, watching that show just gave me, I mean, it was kind of hard to watch, to be honest, because I was like, this is intense, but it gives you an understanding of how things have changed. And even though it's not all perfect, there are so many things that are still imbalanced. There is so much more balance than ever before. The fact that we can have spiritual careers is like, and don't have to be hiding or whatever is really powerful and shows you, and I'm an optimist. I have a moon in Sagittarius, but it's like, it shows you that things are shifting and that we are moving forward collectively, even though it's not always easy. There's lots of things still to heal. We have come such a long way. And the last thing I'll say about this, not that anyone asked, but, this is really interesting. So I am obsessed with the Vikings. I love the show. Have you ever watched the show Vikings on the History Channel? It's gory and insane, but it's so powerful because they had like a seer. So they had a seer that didn't see, and they would go to and speak with the seer. Like their way of life, although very violent, it was just fascinatingly powerful, all rooted in like paganism. And I mean, fascinating. You have to watch that show, but I warn you, it's very gory. It's like, I don't even know how I watched it, but I just was so fascinated by the spirituality and the costumes and just the intention behind things. It was interesting. But anywho, where the heck was I going with that? Okay. So I found this statistic that said that Norway, this may not hold true anymore, but the like Norway and the Scandinavian countries are now considered the happiest place on earth. Have you heard that before?
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah.
Like people there are generally happy, like they're happy, whatever. Well, guess what? That's where the Vikings, if you watch the show, you're like, whoa, they've come a long way, because they used to be just like ruthless, like literally ruthless. Like you think they're going to have some semblance of empathy in these battles, and there's no empathy at all. It's literally just like kill. So the fact that they can shift so much and now most peaceful. I don't know if they even have standing armies. Like, it's just like, it's very different, right? So the reason I bring this up, and this might be totally ridiculous and off base, but that was just an idea I had where I was like, wow, people, humans evolve. Like we don't, just because we are away at a certain time doesn't mean we're going to be that way forever. So I look at that as just a thing of just like that we can have progress, and especially when spirituality is in the conversation.
I love that. Yeah. It's cycles, you know, it's like these cycles and the polarities and the waves and the light and dark, like there's always another side.
Yes.
And that life doesn't stay still. Our cells are always moving. Our energy is always moving. And So would be the progression of, you know, the expression of, you know, society or humanity or whatever that might be. So I love that. I love that example. That's so powerful.
Thanks, babe. Thanks for letting me go on that full blown tangent.
There was something you said there too, that was really, it sparked a thought about, I was having a conversation the other day that this having a spiritual business, like you're like, okay, having a spirit, like who, that's a thing that you can like be open about. You can be abundant in, you can be like, living, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, when my students or clients are like, you know, going through a patch or a challenge, it's like, you have to understand we're paving the way. Like this has never been done before. Like this is unheard of. This type of life is unheard of.
Unheard of. Exactly. I freaking love that. And guess what? I don't remember who I was talking to or what conversation was being had, but I was saying exactly that. I was actually saying too, for us as women engaging with each other's businesses, spiritual businesses, I actually made a little loving rant while ago. I never ended up sharing it because it was so like, I think it was something I needed to get out because I was feeling hurt about it. But I was like, you know, we need to be gentle with each other, because instead of turning or being like, you didn't do this or whatever, we have to remember we are literally helping one another grow an industry that can benefit not only the women who are building businesses within it, but so many millions. And it's already doing that. But the thing that I was bringing up was like, can we be gentle with one another as more right-brained creatures? Because for me, I've become more logistics, organization, delegation. And you've seen me, Jen. I mean, even when you were in JC, that was really early stages for me. And I had a lot of lessons to learn about how to handle having groups, which was just a whole journey in and of itself for me. So the reason I bring this up is because we are walking each other to the finish line. Mm-hmm. So we have to remember, just as you just so beautifully said, that we are creating this together. Mm-hmm. And it is new. Like, yes, have there been successful spiritual teachers? Wayne Dyer, Tony Robbins to a degree, even though he has more of a secular tone, he is extremely spiritual. Like, being in his live events, like, he's a Pisces. I mean, my God, I've had some of the most profound spiritual experiences of my life at Tony Robbins events. So he's like very dialed, but he just presents differently. Wayne Dyer, I mean, Gabby Bernstein, Gala. It's like, there's so many beings who are doing Tori Washington. There's so many beings who are doing so well. Allison Bird. I can think of so many where it's like, there's a spiritual tone, but it's a business. Yeah. And it's like, that is, I just get so excited because it's like, and it's come such a long way even since I really started, which was just, you know, 4 years ago. It is evolving rapidly. And I remember we talked about this for a second before we were diving in, Jen, but just how, like, I am excited at what's possible because, like, this work is needed. And people, like, look at even just what the pandemic really showed us, that mental health has never been, like, appropriated as an important thing to pay attention to. I don't want to say never, but not on a big collective scale. Because for so many people, was it, of course, the fear and the pandemic and all the things, but in addition, it was the loneliness, the isolation, people realizing, I don't like my job. I don't like where my life is. And seeing that these things are deeply important. And that's why we teach and we guide with the spiritual side of the fence, because it's needed. We're not just minds and bodies running around. We're animated by a spirit. We're animated, and not by a spirit, by our spirit, by our soul. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not a spirit. That's not very fun. but it's like we are animated by something. Anima. It's like, that is literally what. And I remember I actually heard this on a podcast. I hear everything on podcasts. That's the one in my thing we were talking about with my human design. I'm always learning. And somebody said that they saw this like video of someone who was passing, but it was one of those, like, I don't know, maybe like an MRI scan, you know, where you can see the energetics of the body and stuff. Yeah. And they said, this gives me chills every time, an energy literally whoosh, left out of the top of the head. It's like the mystics, the ancients, they've known about the chakra system. They've known about the soul and the spirit, and that we live in a spiritual world. It's just like, I just think these are things that the Western mind especially we get to heal and embrace again, because we've done it before. It's just been a while. It's been a long time.
Yeah. And that, and like you were saying, the pandemic or just any stressor, right? Like any push of unbalance or illness or whatever it is, any kind of stressor. And that's like, that's the beauty of being in a human form, is that we can get those signals in that way. That's like, okay, this is so important. I know you've been ignoring it, but time is now. And honestly, the blessing, and I know that there are so many horrific, tragic things that have happened the past couple of years and continue to happen, but the blessing of that circumstance, that, you know, in 2020 is like awakening.
Yes, babe. Yes. Cause sometimes we don't awaken with ease.
No,
a lot of times it's challenge, and it's like, I mean, that is the whole, have you ever seen that funny meme that's like what people think spiritual awakening is going to be? And it's the sun card. And then what it actually is, the tower.
Yeah, exactly.
Flying out of the building. It's literally like, that is the truth. It's like, and to me, being a spiritual practitioner, both inwardly and within our careers, it is about self-awareness and accountability. It's mm-hmm. literally like, it's not just like floating off into the ethers, even though that's real nice. Believe me, I enjoy that from time to time. I'm pretty grounded this lifetime, so I don't do too much of that. But it's like, of course we all like just to feel the lightness of being. I had drug issues in my early 20s. That was rooted in that imbalance with my Neptunian energy. Cause a healthy Neptune in the chart is like healthy, spiritual, subconscious awareness, and an imbalanced Neptune, which most people have, no judgment, no shame, but imbalanced Neptune is like seeking God through substance, through all these things that kind of give you the quick jolt, the quick fix. But the truth is, like, the process of feeling that fulfillment and even that sense of oneness, it takes work. It takes work. And that's why we come here, to remember it, but to do the work and to cultivate the process that gets us there. That's why being incarnate is so powerful, because when we're in absolution, there's, yes, it's beautiful, I'm sure. I don't remember, but I feel it sometimes. But it's like, we come here to remember that in the human form, but we have to work for it. And so for me, in my early 20s, I just wanted the cheat code. I'm like, give me the quick way. I want to do all this work. And I also was just looking for healing, truly. Mm-hmm. So I see, like, I have a very unique perspective on addiction, because I don't know that I see it as, number one, it has nothing to do with the moral compass or character of a person. So often it's like, I'm looking for God. I'm looking for peace. I am looking for a healing from a trauma or a pain that I feel. But a lot of us, our societies, our cultures, they don't give us the tools. And so that is why the work that we do is important, because it's calling us back to home base. Mm. And just to remember that we're mind, body, and spirit. We're not just mind and body. So that's an important thing for me in my work. And I know that's important for you too, Jen.
Oh, yes. So powerful. Yay. So powerful. And, you know, it's interesting, because just hearing you speak, you are this leader in this movement of, you know, spiritual wellness mentors, teachers, business women, entrepreneurs, business people, right? And there's this and I think there's this thing that's happening. It's almost like we're a new breed that is so grounded. Yes, you know,
very grounded.
Like, it's not the stereotypical mystic woo-woo. Da, yeah. Da, da. It's like, for whatever reason, there's this group of people that are like, no, I am super spiritual and mystical, but I'm also real. And I know that there's this combination, like being the bridge is really important for whatever reason in this time in history. Yeah. So it's so cool to see you express that, you know, and embody it.
That means so much. I feel like what you just said, I'm going to carry with me for forever, because it's sometimes it's easy to forget, because it's a, like, I feel like what I do is an absolute privilege. And I acknowledge that the life I've been able to create from being tuned into my soul and then turning that into a business is like, yeah, it's unheard of. Some people don't get it. Some people are like, you are fucked up. Like, they literally don't get it. And I'm like, I totally respect that you don't get it, but it's happening, and it's real, and it helps people. Just because maybe you don't get it, which I totally respect your right to your perspective on the planet and your life and the world. But like, there are people that this helps. And I think that what I notice is, like, you know, the deep importance of self-care. Like, even today I was telling you, Jen, before we jumped on, I was like, wow. I was like, I'm just like a spinning turbine, like in Aries season. Like, I literally am just going, 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 and I love it. But even I told myself, I said, I'm teaching tomorrow. I teach my certification tomorrow. And then Sunday I am doing nothing, like literally not a nothing. Like, I will lay at the
lay at the beach where we live in Laguna part-time. Like I will go to the beach. I was like, I will sit in the sun. I will go hang out, probably hang out with Gala. She's usually my friend that I hang out with when both of us are like, no working. We need to just do things that we enjoy. And it's just like, I just want to speak to that because this work is taxing. And especially as usually as spiritual practitioners, our natural inclination is to want to heal. We want to heal others and ourselves like all the time. Mm-hmm. But we also have to remember that stopping and being human and like smelling the flowers and like eating your favorite meal and just being silly with friends. Like I, quick story. I literally posted something about this reality show on Netflix that I love. And this lady was so offended that I like showed this reality show and was like flabbergasted. And I literally was like, because that's you needing to put me in a box where this is me as a human. Like me as a human is like, I'm going to watch Love is Blind, guess all the astrology signs and just be fucking silly. And just like, but that's, I think, like you said, babe, like the beautiful symbiosis that's happening is like, we're just like, we are human, we're grounded, and that's where we are needed, not to be these perfect, etheric, like, what the heck ever. I don't even think that's real. It's like what we need more than ever is people that we can relate to, we can see ourselves in, but then also who have the discipline to take life to another level and do the self-care and do all of the things. And by self-care, I don't mean just like bubble baths, but it's like, just like truly take care of the self mentally, emotionally, physically. Mm. And it's really powerful, powerful times.
Yes. That is, I love that you use the word discipline and not
favorite word.
Not gifts.
Yes.
You could have used gifts.
Mm.
But that's really, I love that. Because
that book right now. Oh, tell me.
Well, no, just we all have gifts, right?
Yes.
And it's that's the Capricorn grounding part of it. It's like, are you going to be disciplined enough to hold space and to share and to take, you know, for you and others?
I love that. And the book I'm reading right now is called The Power of Discipline. And it's very left brain and like, it's very short, but I'm loving it because my coach said something to me. My trainer said something to me recently. She's like, I told her a situation I was in and she goes, well, that's because you have discipline and you were just exercising your discipline. And I was like, holy shit, you're right. Like I never thought of it that way, but I was like, oh, but a lot of us, we don't like that word because it was used in childhood as like, you're being disciplined. Like how sad, what a hijacking of a powerful word that like changes your fucking life. Like it's like having discipline is how we bring our gifts forward. And, I love that you make like that comparison. I think that's so incredible.
Oh. Thank you so much. I could talk to you forever. The
wisdom. We're always like this. I feel like when we go in, we're just like, whew, like our souls Let's are go. Like, yay.
Down the slide together.
Thank you, babe. This has been amazing. Thank you for letting me just, you know, share what was in my heart. And this is just so special.
Yeah, truly. Thank you. And, you know, if you wouldn't mind, I would love to ask just one piece of advice that you would give to someone listening who is in the spiritual wellness space and starting out as an entrepreneur. And yeah, just some piece of wisdom, whatever comes to mind for you or a story.
Oh man, I feel like, well, the biggest thing is just to keep going. Like it is not easy to create a life on your terms that you actually want to live. Like I know that that's not the most encouraging thing, but it is true because the way the world and the system we live in and everything is set up, it takes a lot it takes grit. But here's the thing. Let's soften the word grit and just say it takes what I like to call gracious self-discipline. Mm. How can you love yourself in the process of creating what you want? And that has been and still is a practice of mine. But I feel like what I love to share for another that I didn't have was just keep going. Like, you're right on time. And if you're really doing something that you're just like, this has helped me and I want to help others, and you're truly working on yourself, it's just, I just think that we all need to remember that, like, we are guided by a divine, by a loving force. It doesn't always seem like that, because the things of the world, the pain, the traumas, the inequities, sometimes it's just like, how do I exist as a sensitive being who wants to live a powerful life in a world like this? But that is exactly what we've just been speaking about, is like finding that gracious space between loving yourself and literally calling yourself into the challenges. Mm-hmm. Because on the other side of that, like, that willingness is just like, as, and don't be impatient. I feel like that. I wish someone had told me, like, don't be impatient. And I still have things I'm impatient about, but it's like, just trust the flipping process. You're going to get where you're going. And guess what? It's going to be probably even better than you could imagine, but just keep going in the direction of what lights you up. Keep working on yourself. And remember, you're in a co-creative dance with the universe, because you really are. And yeah, that's what I would say. And I wish someone had said that to me sooner. So
everyone pause, rewind, take more notes. Powerful advice. Thank you so much.
This has been awesome. Such a great way to end my week.
So great. And if you want to let people know where they can find you, what you're up to, what you're working on.
Well, I'm super active on Instagram. It's just at Natalia_Benson. And my website's nataliabenson.com. I'm very into teaching money. I actually love that we just got to talk about all the esoteric, because usually when I do podcasts, it's like money, business, astrology. And I'm like, this is like, my heart is just like getting to talk about all of this. So that's why I do all the money and business stuff, because I see them as tools for spiritual empowerment. Especially money. That's a big one for me that I love to teach. So yeah, coming up in April, I'm going to be offering a new moon and Taurus money bundle. So just, if you're with me over on Instagram, I do all the announcements there. If you go to the link tree, there's a beautiful money meditation in there. If you're looking for like some levity in your relationship to money, making a more spiritual relationship with your finances, there is a beautiful, beautiful money visualization download in that link tree, in my link tree for you. And just, yeah, please come and say hi. And Jen, I love you. I'm so proud of you. You know, I respond to your emails and I'm always cheering you on. So thank you so much for this space to be myself today. It's just, I feel very blessed.
Thank you, Natalia. This has just been, I'm just so honored to have you on here. I was so nervous. I was like, oh my gosh.
I love you. Why did you shake
before? I'm like, oh my gosh. It's so funny. You know, it's like we've known each other a longer time, you know, a long time, and deeply too, but it's still, you know, I have to say, you hold such a beautiful power that it's good. It's a good thing, you know, for me to feel like,
yeah, like that's our Aries Pisces dance. And I feel like we've been doing it for many, many lifetimes. So yeah. I just adore you. And I'm so grateful for you. And look, like, I think that the spaces that we've held together have always been ones of just the deepest, deepest love and respect. But sometimes, like, having respect and love for people, it doesn't always mean it's easy. So you're just like, whoa, I'm feeling a lot of deep emotions. And it's just like, it's because like we just hold a powerful space together and we're on a journey together throughout all the lifetimes. So let's just keep it fucking going.
Keep rolling. Thank you so much.
Thank you, love. Bye, guys.
Thank you guys so much. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider doing a rate and review. I know everyone asks you to do this, but it really does make a difference, so that more ears can hear this message and so that we can connect further and on a deeper level with more people. So if you go to wherever you're listening to this podcast, give a 5-star rating. If you're feeling really great about it, a review would be amazing. And I so deeply appreciate it. And thank you for being here.